You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's a lot to cover on today's show with Tennessee's football team, which was off on Monday. So on today's show, I'm going to clean some stuff up. There's a lot of talk about Tennessee and some of the projections out there. On Friday's show, I had a conversation with Matt Hinton, and he was talking about Tennessee as the number 21 team in the country. But Tennessee is going up against teams like South Carolina, Missouri, and Mississippi State that are all comparable to Tennessee, at least it appears so going into the season, plus Alabama, Georgia, Florida. You have a pretty good idea of the schedule at this point. What Tennessee is facing, one national writer says, I don't know if Tennessee is going to a bowl game. Another one says, I do think Tennessee is going to a bowl game. I'll get to that in segment number one, and I'll share my opinion, because I do think that Tennessee is going to a bowl game this year, and absolutely should. In segment number two today, there is an updated point spread for Tennessee's second game of the season and the first real test for the Vols. That's BYU in week two at Neyland Stadium. Plus, there's a player transferring in the SEC who might be able to get eligibility to play right away. Does that say anything about Aubrey Solomon's case with the NCAA? And then in segment number three, I will open up the mailbag with some questions about Jarrett Garantano, what he might be able to do, and also, who's his backup? That's a very important question to get answered here in the next few weeks. I'll do my best at this point, August 13th, to get to that. In segment number three of today's show, Locked On Vols, your team every day. I want to welcome new listeners. I want to thank you for being here. The audience has continued to grow, which is so cool. Continue to spread the word if you get a chance and tell others out there about Locked On Vols. But I appreciate you being here. The show is here 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. Find the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. So last week, Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com put out his bowl projections for the 2019 season, and noticeably absent was Tennessee. Jerry Palm does not have Tennessee going to a bowl game this upcoming year. I'll go ahead and say that would be a tremendous disappointment to everybody. Fans would be very disappointed. Jeremy Pruitt would be disappointed. Of course, his players would be. And Philip Fulmer, Tennessee's athletic director, he has talked recently about, of course, the goal is to get to a bowl game and to do more than that. I'm paraphrasing the comments. The point being, of course Tennessee expects to be in the postseason. That's the bottom of the standard with Tennessee's football program. But Jerry Palm does not have Tennessee there. Now, it's a pretty close margin for error, and Tennessee absolutely could be, even in the mind of Jerry Palm. But he was on the starting lineup on WNML on Monday morning. And they asked him simply, what does he think about Tennessee and what he sees for the Vols this upcoming year, as he does not have them projected to go to the postseason?
Well, I had him at 5-7, although I think they have a relatively favorable schedule if they're able to make, you know, significant improvement from next year. But, I mean, you got Georgia and Mississippi State at home. Those don't look like likely wins. I'm not seeing them winning on the road at all, although if they were to surprise somebody, it might be Kentucky. And then the one that hinges, you know, for me as a bowl game is South Carolina at home. You know, if they can beat them at home, then I think they've got a decent chance. But I wouldn't be surprised if they lost that game. I think BYU can give them a game too, especially because it's early in the season. But you know, we'll see. I wouldn't rule out 7-5. I think 8-4 would be surprising.
So as you hear there, Jerry Palm, he wouldn't rule out 7-5. He has 5-7, but he sees several games. He mentions BYU there in South Carolina. I'm going to talk more about the BYU game coming up in segment number two, but that's a game where you're going to see Tennessee going in projected to win. Tennessee's going to be the favorite in that game, but it needs to make sure it takes care of business. Then you have the South Carolina game. South Carolina is a team that has Will Muschamp as the head coach, and he is 7-0 against Tennessee as the head coach at Florida and South Carolina, 4-0 in Gainesville, 3-0 as the Gamecocks head coach. So he's trying to get to 4-0 as South Carolina's coach against Tennessee. The S&P Plus projection from Bill Conley gives Tennessee a 51% chance of winning that game. So Tennessee has a very slight edge, the difference maybe being Tennessee at home. Tennessee needs to win that one. And also, Jerry's saying he does not have Tennessee winning any games on the road, meaning he has Tennessee losing at Florida, which would not be a surprise, at Alabama, same, at Missouri would not be too big of a surprise at all, really, and then at Kentucky. That, I think, would surprise a lot of Tennessee fans, but I've said Tennessee better be ready for that game. Kentucky, I don't think is going to be an awful team. They do have to replace some key players. Josh Allen up front is really important. Benny Snell was such a terrific running back. A bunch of guys in the secondary. But Tennessee will play five straight weeks before going to Lexington, and Kentucky will be off the week before it hosts Tennessee. So Kentucky will have 2 weeks to get ready for what will be a big game for the Wildcats. So Tennessee just needs to be ready for that game. I think Tennessee should be favored to win it, but it doesn't mean it's a guaranteed automatic lock. Those are important games if Tennessee is going to get to 6, 7, or possibly 8 wins this upcoming year. So you heard Jerry Palm there of CBS Sports. We also asked his colleague, Barrett Salee, what he thinks. As he was on Sports 180 with us on Friday, he is every Friday on the Sports Animal, and he gave his opinion on what Jerry had to say there with Jerry Palm not having Tennessee in a bowl game.
I think he's wrong. I think Tennessee will be a bowl team this year. Whether that's a 6-6 team or a 7-5 team, and a 7-5 probably gets you into that pool of 6. I think Tennessee is going to be a bowl team. The offensive line question is you know, just that, but you have skilled players that you trust. You've got a quarterback who I think is underrated in Jarrett Garantano, and I would imagine that from a defensive perspective, they're going to have a much better idea of what Pruitt wants them to do this year. So I don't agree with Jerry. I think Tennessee is a 6 or 7 win football team, perhaps an 8 win team if they catch a few breaks. And, you know, there are teams that do, you know, catch more breaks than not. So Tennessee could become that team. So I just think that in the SEC East, you've got Georgia, you've got Florida, and then you've got a whole lot of questions. And Tennessee's part of that group. That doesn't mean they will be, you know, bringing up the rear of that group, because I do think it's going to be one of those teams that, you know, when they're hot, they can catch you, kind of like Missouri was against Florida last year. And when they're not, they can look ridiculous, kind of like Florida did against Missouri last year. So I think that's going to be what Tennessee is. I think you sort of got signs of that last year with what happened against Auburn and Kentucky. You know, so I they'll make a bowl game. I have complete trust that they will make a bowl game, especially considering the out-of-conference slate isn't exactly too daunting. Especially considering, you know, the BYU game is after the BYU plays the Civil War, and it's cross-country. Like, that's a big deal. And if BYU is halfway decent, fine. They do have adults playing in the trenches because of, you know, mission trips and whatnot. But that's an emotional game in week one, and then they got to travel cross country. I mean, you couldn't pick a better time to get BYU.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm going to talk more about that Tennessee-BYU game coming up in the next segment. As you hear, it continues to be stressed as an important game for Tennessee, and I don't think there's any debate about that. So Barrett Salee would have Tennessee in a bowl game. Jerry Palm would not. Tennessee does have something to prove, and I think that continues to be a part of the conversation. When you go back to SEC Media Days, Tennessee was picked 5th in the SEC East, but closer to 6th than 4th. So I think a lot of people naturally, just after the last couple of seasons, Tennessee going 4-8 and then 5-7, are saying, hey, you still play a really tough schedule. Let's see what you got. And Tennessee knows it has to go prove that it can play at a higher level. And as I've mentioned before, this is all talk, and that's what the month of August is largely about. It's about all the talk leading up to the season, and then they go play games, and everything that we said for 8 months leading up to the start of the season is completely thrown out the window and doesn't mean anything anymore. But this is a fun time of year. We build up to the start of the season, and you're going to hear differing opinions. Matt Hinton last week has Tennessee projected in the Gator Bowl. He has Tennessee as the number 21 team in the country. The S&P Plus has Tennessee projected as the number 21 team in the country, but also with a projected win total of 6.5, because that schedule won't be easy, and that probably starts week 2 with that game against BYU. I'll get to that coming up next. Also, Aubrey Solomon's eligibility watch continues. Some kind of update for you coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And a show that is getting a lot of traction right now is Locked On Fantasy Football. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer. He's hosting Locked On Fantasy Football for you, and he gives you the edge with more than 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. If you do, you're the same as everyone else. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football. You can find it on your favorite podcast provider. So, more on that Tennessee-BYU game that I mentioned. Westgate's sportsbook has updated some point spreads for this upcoming season with individual games, and Westgate has Tennessee as only a 3-point favorite against BYU. Westgate did have Tennessee as a 4-point favorite, so the line has moved a full point to the Vols by a field goal. That still means Tennessee's favored. That still means that Tennessee is projected to win. That's probably as small of a line as you're going to find. I look back at the S&P Plus. They're much more bullish there with those numbers. Bill Conley and his numbers, much more bullish on Tennessee in that game. The projected margin is Tennessee by 9.8 with a 71% chance of winning. I looked at the ESPN Football Power Index, and that projection has Tennessee with an 81% chance of winning. So that would have Tennessee by more than 10 points. I would be somewhere in the middle. I would have Tennessee probably as a 6 to 7 point favorite against BYU. And that conversation is right now. Barrett Salee last segment mentioning that BYU-Utah game. That is a big one. That's a very emotional game. Something that helps BYU is that game will be played on a Thursday. So August 29th is when BYU will host Utah. Utah is a 5-point favorite right now if you look at the opening game point spread. So Utah at BYU is a bigger favorite than Tennessee would be right now at home versus BYU, at least according to Westgate. So BYU will play that game, and then we'll have a couple of extra days to kind of regroup from a big season opener, and then we'll take on Tennessee. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're maybe hoping BYU wins that game so that it gets the attention of your players, because that's something that Tennessee will need to make sure is that players are ready, players are locked in and not thinking, this is just BYU coming in. I've mentioned this a number of times in the offseason, but I'll repeat it and I'll say it again before the game that Tennessee will play on September 7th. BYU went to Wisconsin and won last year. BYU is a quality football team. S&P Plus has it as a top 50 team. I believe Phil Still has BYU in his top 40. So not a great team. I don't think anybody's making that case, but a respectable team. And Zach Wilson coming back at quarterback, he's a talented player. When he took over last year, he completed 66% of his passes, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, so made some plays, took care of the football, and he had an average yard per attempt at about 8.6 yards per throw. He can make some plays. I don't think that he will be intimidated. I don't think that his teammates will be intimidated on the road at Neyland Stadium. And they've got guys with pretty good size up front. That defensive line for BYU has guys like a nose tackle that's at 340, guys that are 290, 300. They're not small defensive linemen coming into play against Tennessee. So they'll be ready going up against the Vols. Now, I would say that Tennessee's roster overall has better players and has more talent. So Tennessee should win the game. That's why everybody has Tennessee favored. We're just having a conversation of what the margin should be or what the projected margin should be going in. But it's also a game that is losable for Tennessee, and the players are going to need to recognize that going in. So Westgate has Tennessee as a 3-point favorite currently against BYU. My guess is that by game week, after Tennessee plays Georgia State and BYU plays Utah, that Tennessee will be favored by more than that. Now, if BYU beats Utah, maybe it will be 3 points or even smaller. But right now, Tennessee would be a 3-point favorite against BYU, according to the Westgate Sportsbook. And I promise, Jeremy Pruitt knows that's a very important game for his team to play well. It's going to be a legitimate test. The Vols have Georgia State, BYU, and then Chattanooga before going to Florida. The only real test in there is BYU, and Jeremy Pruitt is going to do everything he can to make sure that his players are ready and focused for that game. Now, something that I think a lot of Tennessee fans are focused on right now is the status of Aubrey Solomon, especially with the injury to Emmett Gooden last week. With Tennessee's defensive lineman, senior defensive lineman, going down for the year, Aubrey Solomon is a junior who has transferred in from Michigan, who would start right away and would play a big role for Tennessee if the NCAA grants him immediate eligibility. We continue to wait on word from the NCAA to find out if he will be able to play. Now, on Monday, Florida State received word that quarterback Jordan Travis, who transferred from Louisville to Florida State, he redshirted last year as a true freshman. He is from the state of Florida, so he's transferred back to his home state. He has been granted eligibility to play right away. Last week, a quarterback who transferred from Washington to UCLA was denied eligibility. Now, Chip Kelly in that case said that Washington was not in favor of the transfer, and that hurt the quarterback's case and pretty much kept him from being granted eligibility. At least that's how I read Chip Kelly's comments that he made to the media last week. with each of these cases, I have no idea how to tie one decision or another into Aubrey Solomon's case. I think that we're all guessing with every single one of these players. Joel Silverberg mentioned on Sports 180 on Monday that there have been two undergraduate Michigan players who have transferred this offseason and received word from the NCAA. One was granted immediate eligibility, the other was denied. So they are one and one. I guess Aubrey Solomon would split the tie with undergrad Michigan players who have transferred. Now, something that's really interesting is on Monday, Florida coach Dan Mullen was talking about linebacker Britton Cox, who last week transferred from Georgia to Florida. That's right, he transferred last week. I mentioned this at the end of Monday's show. He was a five-star player in the 2018 class. He played a lot as a true freshman for Georgia last year. He started fall camp with Georgia before deciding to transfer. He very quickly made the decision to go to Gainesville and play for the Florida Gators. He was out there on the practice field the last few days. He was at the autograph session over the weekend. And Dan Mullen was talking about him on Monday. I think the just assumption has been, well, with that transfer, he'll sit out this year and he'll play next year. And that could be what occurs, but Florida is going to apply for a waiver to get Cox immediately eligible to play this year for Florida. Listen to what Dan Mullen said at his press conference with the media on Monday.
Yeah, sure, we're definitely going to apply for a waiver for him. You know, and see, I think we hope we'd feel good about it, of having him being able to play. I think you look at all the previous scenarios that are out there around the country that we'd feel there'd be a good opportunity.
That came around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think it was 5 days after he entered the portal. Can you give me some background as to how that happens?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as he went in, they reached out. Some of the players reached out and said he'd been, you know, he called some of the players to ask about us. You know, talking with his high school coach, talking to him, talking to his mom, and, you know, it's a unique deal. He, you know, because of the timing, you're not allowed to take an official visit. You know, we asked, we tried to apply, can there be some relief for, you know, it's a part of the transfer portal, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different things that come up, and it's the first time something like this has come up for us. So they said no, but, you know, and going through everything, I think one of the ones of him wanting to move quickly on it was to get to a school, to be able to, you know, a school and get the waiver process, get this waiver process for him started and coming here. So he has the opportunity to play.
Florida coach Dan Mullen says he's confident that Britton Cox can get a waiver to be able to play immediately for the Gators. And if that were to happen, you would have a lot of people around college football saying, what's going on here? Something that's difficult with all of these conversations is we rarely know exactly what is made in the case for a player to be able to play right away. Sometimes it's obvious. I think we had a fairly good idea with Justin Fields when he left Georgia to go to Ohio State. And with quarterbacks, playing time is often going to be a part of it. And sometimes quarterbacks are told, hey, we've brought in another guy to play. You're just not going to have a chance here. Quarterbacks really only get one shot. I know backups can play, but if you're not the starter, you're not expected to play. At other positions, you can. So playing time is often going to be a part of the conversation at quarterback. But I don't know exactly what Aubrey Solomon's case to be able to play right away is. He is getting closer to home, but he's not necessarily close to home. They did have a defensive line coaching change at Michigan. But again, we're all playing a guessing game here, so I can't tell you what to expect. I know Tennessee fans are remaining hopeful that Solomon can play right away. Tennessee's coaching staff is hoping that he will be given immediate eligibility, and Tennessee needs him to be given immediate eligibility. But I'm telling you, that's going to be a big story around college football if Britton Cox is allowed to play after starting fall camp with Georgia and transferring to Florida in the middle of August and then being able to play the same season this upcoming fall. Something to at least pay attention to. Remember, Florida season starts earlier than other teams. Florida opens up the season August 24th against Miami. So as of this show, this is Tuesday, August 13th, you're looking at 11 days until Florida hits the field to start the regular season. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, I will open up the mailbag. Questions about Tennessee's starting quarterback as well as the backup quarterback position. I'll get to that next. Locked On Vols is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as the NFL conversation continues, you've got to check out the new Locked On NFL. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows. And with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson, and it's hosted by Brian Peacock, Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. The first question in today's mailbag segment comes from Trevor. Trevor, thanks a lot for listening to the show and for the question. And Trevor wants to know about Jarrett Garantano. What to expect from him as he enters his fourth season in the program. He's back for his second full season as a starter. And what Jarrett might be able to do from a statistical standpoint. The statistical question is a good one because, frankly, it's really difficult to answer. I thought, one, I would look at what Jarrett did a year ago in the offense, his first full season as a starter, and then maybe look at what Jake Fromm did at Georgia, because Jim Chaney was the offense coordinator there a year ago and now is at Tennessee. So last year for Tennessee, Jarrett Garantano completed 153 of his 246 attempts. He completed a little bit better than 62% of his passes. He threw 12 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He took care of the football. That's a good thing. He did not give it away. He didn't make enough plays in Tennessee's offense. He did not also play a full season. Remember, he had to leave several games because of injury. So that limited some of his numbers. Let's compare that to Jake Fromm from a year ago. Jake Fromm, playing for Georgia last year, completed better than 67% of his passes. He threw 30 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. A 5-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio is exceptional. He had 2,749 yards, by the way. That compares to 1,900, a little more than 1,900 for Garantano. So if you look at Fromm, he had 18 more touchdown passes than Garantano last year, double the interceptions, but he also threw a lot more passes. Looks like 60 more pass attempts last year than Garantano. So here's what I would say you could expect or maybe hope for this year. Can that touchdown number come close to doubling from 12 to 24? 24 would be really good. It'd be short of what Fromm did, but Garantano should have more opportunity. By the way, I'm really kind of assuming health in this conversation. If Garantano is hurt, if he misses time, obviously that would limit what his numbers are. So can he double that touchdown number? The interception number should probably go up. You don't want to throw interceptions. I'm not saying that. But if he's attempting more passes and he's working the ball down the field and he's trying to make some plays, every once in a while the ball's going to go to the other team. You just have to know that that's going to happen. But if he can get the touchdown number way up, that means he's making more plays in the offense. That means Tennessee's moving the ball down the field most likely. You're going to hit some big strikes, but a lot of the time that's going to mean better movement within the offense. And can that completion rate go up? 62% is pretty good. Can he get it up in the 65% range? I don't think we should expect Jarrett Garantano to put up the same numbers as Jake Fromm a year ago. Fromm plays behind an elite offensive line. Last year he had a number of talented wide receivers plus DeAndre Swift behind him. But there are some weapons for Tennessee to work with as well, for Jarrett Garantano to get the ball to. I wouldn't expect Tennessee overall to have the same level of production, which is going to affect Garantano's numbers. But if Garantano is doubling his touchdown number, well, that's still 20% off what Fromm did. Let's say doubles the interception number as well. If he throws 24 touchdowns, 6 picks, you'll take those numbers all day long. You want to get those yards up as well. Can he get another 500 to 1,000 yards on his total yardage for the season? You'd like to see that as well. And then the completion percentage. Higher completion percentage means extending drives probably more often as well. So I don't know if that's a great answer for you, but trying to compare to what Jake Fromm did a year ago and trying to get closer to that number, because there's a pretty sizable gap when you look at Garantano's overall production a year ago and what Fromm did, that's probably what Garantano is shooting for in that direction. And if Garantano comes anywhere close, that's going to mean a really good season for Tennessee's offense. If he doesn't come close, well, that's obviously going to stunt what the Vols are able to do most likely this year. Without knowing exactly what the backup quarterbacks do, I said that I'm assuming health. Well, what if they're not healthy? So I transitioned from Trevor's question to Joey's, which is, hey, what's the latest with the backup quarterback position? Who goes in if the unspeakable happens? Well, right now, I think that's JT Schrout. You have the redshirt freshman Schrout and then true freshman Brian Maurer battling for that backup quarterback position. Here's maybe the big concern. I mentioned that Garantano takes care of the football. He does not give the ball to the other team a lot. I think a concern with either one of these guys is that they would give the ball to the other team too often. Taking care of the football, understanding protection, figuring out what's coming from the opposing defense, neither one of these guys has taken a snap at the college level. And you can only do so much to simulate that before they get that opportunity. Tennessee wants to blow out Georgia State, get Garantano off the field, and get at least one of those backups, whichever guys number two, get him some reps in the second half against Georgia State, because you never know what's going to happen. You hope to have Garantano healthy all season long, but history at Tennessee, especially recent history, says Tennessee better be ready to have the number two guy, and often the number three guy, ready. Remember, Josh Dobbs wanted to redshirt in 2013 and 14 and could not do that because he was needed, and that was when he was the number three or number four guy at Tennessee. We're talking about the number two or number three for Tennessee in this case. So I don't have a great answer because we've never seen either of these guys really take 11-on-11 snaps, but Shrout, I would say, is the number two guy right now. Brian Maurer is probably number three, and then let's see how that continues. But here in the next 2 weeks, at least in the next week, week and a half, before Tennessee gets to game week, I would expect that Tennessee will do everything it can to get as many reps for Shrout and Maurer because they are so inexperienced, and the more work they can get in practice, the more prepared they should be, while Garantano has gotten a lot of work over the last few years. And Tennessee staff, for the most part, knows what he's going to offer. They're not going to just have him sit out practice for the next 2 weeks. But Tennessee is going to make sure that Shrout and Maurer get their opportunity, because one of those guys is going to have to be ready. And the truth is, right now, if Garantano were to go down, then I think confidence would become a big issue in that building and throughout that team. There's confidence in Jarrett Garantano and his ability to have a big year and to lead Tennessee's offense. I'm not sure how much there is in the backup quarterback right now. So that battle between Shrout and Maurer and what they were able to do in practice the next few weeks is really important for Tennessee's upcoming season. I appreciate the questions for today's show. If you ever want to hit me up, you can find the links to my social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. They are in the show notes. Send me a question or comment for the show anytime. Tennessee will get back to the practice field today. So coming up tomorrow, you will hear more thoughts on Tennessee's football team. Hear from Jim Chaney, Tennessee's offensive coordinator, coming up on tomorrow's show as well. As we are 2.5 weeks from Tennessee opening up the season, as of tomorrow's show, Tennessee will be 17 days away from kicking things off against Georgia State. Continue to subscribe, download, rate, and review the show if you do have time as well. Thanks to everybody who has done that. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week, available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, the third-party apps, anywhere you find podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols. Thanks again, and I'll see you here tomorrow.